Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The world is a great big Jaffa cake. Some people don't like it, others do. Either way, it's okay. All you've got to say is not today. Thank you.
Good morning. When I was 17, it was not a very good year, actually. It was better than when I was 18, but there I am digressing already in the first clause. It was the year, though, that I discovered I could do an impression of my great aunt Ruby. I was on holiday in France at the time, me and my dad. We'd gone for a run and we were walking back along the seashore, and we were playing a fun game of who would be the worst presenter of Through the Keyhole. And we went through, you know, various people. I can't remember who, like famous people. And then I said, well, the worst really would be Auntie Ruby. She's a nonagenarian, my great aunt. And she was an amazing woman. She went on holiday in her 90s to Egypt, and she was annoyed because she couldn't go on the hot air balloon, but she did ride a camel. In her 90s, she climbed up on a stool in her kitchen and fell off it and smashed her head against the oven door, and she was fine, but the oven door was broken. She was an amazing woman, tiny little trembling bird of a woman, but very, very sweet. She was the one who said, "Eat what you can," if you heard that story earlier. Anyway, so I started doing this Auntie Ruby voice, which turned into Dora Dale, who I've done on Pleased to Meet You on 4Extra and various other things. So it was sort of the birth of a character. And I was obsessed, and I couldn't stop. Like, the whole of that summer when I was 17 in France, I was just doing Auntie Ruby. Who did sound like that. I mean, so convincing that when I called my cousin and pretended to be her and could he give me a lift, he bought it. Hook, line and sinker, he fell for it.
I'm going to sing that. And I said, perhaps you could demonstrate me from Victoria to Houston.
Right. What time are you getting there?
Well, I'm getting in at about 11:30.
11:30 Houston. I mean, Victoria.
Yes.
Right.
So, like, trust me, it's a good impression.
I was doing Auntie Ruby all the time.
I nearly drowned myself and my family because me and my mum and dad we'd swum. We were swimming in the sea. We swum out. And I started
going,
and we started to laugh and discovered that the minute you laugh when you're swimming, all the air leaves your body and you just sink like a stone. And the ludicrousness of a family drowning, like, we were panicking, genuinely panicking, like frantically trying to get back to shore. And it was so preposterous that it just made us laugh more. And I remember my mum's face, this combination of terror and hilarity, of her just like trying frantically for all of us to get back to shore before we drowned.
I told my dad had killed the family.
And I remember afterwards I sort of said, you know, why is it so funny? Why is this so funny? And mum said, it's panic. It's hysteria. Because, you know, Ruby had... That was her voice. And If I find it, I'll stick it. I've got a little bit. I've got one, like, tiny recording of her, with her saying,
"It's a midsummer day, so we haven't had a week of good weather yet. It's a midsummer day, so we haven't had a week of good weather yet."
You're right, you're right. It's terrible. Make them stop.
Anyway, you know, she was very sweet, and she'd sort of grasp your arm and say,
"Did you see the pickles were spoken over the teapot?"
And you'd be like, I don't want to let you down. So you go, "Yes." And she'd go,
"Oh, no, terrible."
You mean, no, terrible. So Mum said it was the panic of, you know, someone coming up to you and sort of wanting to engage with you, wanting that with you, that conversation and stuff, and putting you in this position of how do you deal with something unintelligible. And so for Mum, she'd feel this panic, hysteria welling up in her. And that's a form of comedy, and it can be the kind of comedy that produces the biggest laughs. That proper shrieking chimp, you know, flinging stuff, kind of hysterical laugh. But it's got quite a short tail as a kind of comedy, because once you're over that initial shock, then there's not much of a dividend to be had from it. So you have to kind of push it further and further and further, I guess. Little Britain relied quite heavily, I think, on that kind of comedy. I remember laughing till I thought my eyes were going to pop out of their sockets at the Bitty sketch the first time I saw it, which is a grown man who's still breastfeeding, because it's the sort of hysterical taboo of it, and how would you deal with that? And then I didn't laugh at it so much each time. It sort of just became kind of normalised, I guess. Anyway, Little Britain has just been pulled from iPlayer and Netflix and BritBox. Guys, who signed up for BritBox? Get over it, guys. Anyway, I think it's the right call, pulling Little Britain, while we figure some stuff out. I'm not saying burn the tapes, but I do think we should just take them out of the mix while we talk some stuff through. They were pulled because they used blackface, and it's in response to Black Lives Matter. But there's some other stuff in there that I think is worth kind of raking through a little bit. In the meantime, this week, J.K. Rowling has been kicking off kind of against the trans community. And this is a big one. And I confess, it took me a long time to get my head around a lot of this. Even though the answer's pretty straightforward, I think. You know, I didn't do very well processing it. But the conversation about it, I think, has been so charged. It's been hysterical. And I found it quite hard to think clearly about it, I think. I read some stuff online. I read some tweets by Graham Linehan, among others, and I don't think they were helpful. J.K. Rowling said that much of her anxiety, she's not apologised or recanted, but she's tried to explain that much of her anxiety about trans women occupying single sex spaces, by which I guess she means dressing rooms and toilets, it stems from abuse that she survived in her past. And I believe her. You know, I absolutely believe her. And I believe her because I don't think you get the kind of knee-jerk anger that she's displaying towards the trans community without fear. Fear fuels that level of anger. I think there's a lot of fear around this. I think J.K. Rowling still has fear around the idea of a certain kind of individual invading a space which prior to now she's felt safe in. So maybe the first question around the whole thing is, how do we de-escalate the heightened emotion felt by some of the participants in the conversation? You know, how do we actually start to dissipate the fear and then start to look at the issue in a slightly less emotionally charged way? The vast majority of trans women want, I suspect, what the majority of women want. And I'm sorry for making these distinctions about trans women and women. I'm just using terms for the sake of clarity in this conversation. I suspect they want a safe space. Maybe we should ask them. A safe space that they can inhabit and just peacefully live their lives. I don't think they want anything from women. I don't think they are Linehan-esque, 8-foot-tall, marauding, ex-convict monsters out for carnage. I think they're probably quite gentle people who've been through quite enough already. Thanks very much. Not wanting to stir up any trouble and just have a wee. Are there exceptions? Oh, certainly. Are there conventional women who do terrible things? Certainly. It's almost like these groups of people were composed of individuals. Yeah, but are they women? Are they women? I mean, are they? Is the, you know, they haven't experienced, no, but has a woman who lives in Fife had the same experience as a woman living in sub-Saharan Africa? Probably not. So could we say that you can have lots of different lives and experiences and still be a woman? What's frightening you about this? Is it, have you had a bad experience at the hands of a man? And now in your head, that man, that specific man or men, have put a dress on and they're coming for you. Because I don't think that's likely. And I'm aware that here I am, a very empowered, fearless cis male, telling the ladies what to think. And I can't do very much about that. I will say that much of what I'm saying, while I haven't had this signed off by Kim, my partner, it's based on long conversations I've had with her, and she's really much better at this stuff than I am. Maybe she should start a podcast. Anyway, I just think much of the fear comes from the grotesquerie of the imagery surrounding it. To be clear, like, it's the reductive stereotypes of it. And those are all we really see in the media. It's similar to the blackface, you know, is harnessed by the likes of David Walliams, mainly in Little Britain. The crudely rouged I'm a lady character. How funny. Tee hee. Why do we laugh? Why do we laugh? Because it's the same as Auntie Ruby. It's the fear. It's the fear of, what does this person want from me? What am I supposed to do with this person? Watch your backs, lads. And Little Britain should have been pulled for that reason every bit as much as the blackface, because it's not helping. I don't think the trans movement is an attempted land grab of womanhood. I think it's just some people trying to shelter from maleness, maybe like you, for whatever reasons, gently asking, could we maybe open up a new folder for them in the womanhood directory? You can stay in yours. No one's going to encroach on that. We've, you know, it's a new hard drive. They're not Norman Bates. They're not David Walliams. They're not Les Bloody Dawson. They are probably an accountant. So if you're resistant to the trans movement and trans rights, ask yourself if, and you know, it's a big if, I totally accept that, if we could take out the fear, if you could take out your own experiences of men, the fear of men, not trans women, if you could take that from the picture, how would you feel about it then? If you could just remove that immediate fear.
Would you live in a house like this?
I'm aware this is me wading in on another topic I'm not qualified to and have little right to comment on. You're welcome. Damn my white cis malehood! Such a useless thing to have right now. I welcome your thoughts on this. Because, like I say, I'm not qualified and I could probably have done this better. As always, the email address is nottoday@swanburst.com. Well, let's move on. I have had some emails and, oh, here's one.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger. Feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello there, this is Brinsley Dear Love with That's Lovely. Just lovely, and many thanks to Pat, who has kindly sent me an email saying, "Hello Brinsley, here are some lovely pictures to cheer everyone's day." Well, let's have a little look now, and gosh, isn't that striking? That's lovely. That's a hummingbird. Emerald green, iridescent hues. Exquisite plumage, sipping at the nectar from a big pink flower. That is lovely, isn't it? And next, gosh, an almost fantastical portrait of a unicorn standing nobly atop a hill, a somewhat thunderous sky behind it. But really, that is lovely, a wild picture. Gosh. And, oh, that's lovely. That's so lovely. A little baby with a little toy, lying on a rug. Gosh, those big blue eyes, that is lovely. Adorable little cherub there. And that's not That's that's not lovely. That's dog shaming. That's what that is. That is dog shaming. Well, that's the end of That's Lovely for today. If you would like to send me some lovely pictures, you can send them to me, Brinsley Dear Love, at That's Lovely. It's Not Today at swanburst.com, and that is... Oof. Just burn the house down after that. Absolutely disgusting. HBO Max has pulled Gone with the Wind, and quite right too. Not just for its offensiveness thematically, it's just a rancid film. I've watched it so you don't have to. Are you ready? Okay then, here's Gone with the Wind. It's a grand old soap opera running at a kidney failing 4 hours nearly, so let me spare you half a working day of your life. This is Gone with the Wind, done in about 4 minutes. Think of it as Downton Abbey with black people and more racism, as Gone with the Wind opens shamelessly referring to the Old South as a pretty world in which gallantry took its last bow, explicitly referencing master and slave in the same breath and lamenting a civilization gone with the wind. And indeed, prior to 50 Shades of Grey, never had there been a more hotly anticipated adaptation of a novel with bondage as its main theme. The story opens in the 1860s, the last days of the Deep South in Atlanta, where white folks live in fancy houses and black folks ain't treated as nothing but simple chillun. I know, hard to imagine, isn't it, until you remember that Atlanta is still the most segregated city in the South of America and that it still had some formal segregation in the year I was born, 1973. Our lead, let's not use terms like hero is Scarlett O'Hara, who's living in Tara with Brian Lara. Only joking. Scarlett is a headstrong young woman who's in love with Ashley, who, to be fair, would turn the head of any teenage girl. He sort of looks like a heavily smoking 40-year-old. But Ashley is in love with her cousin, because that's the sort of thing that happened down there, isn't it? So for 13 reels, we follow a series of doomed romances between Scarlett and various people set against the backdrop of the burning of Atlanta. Scarlett does get a couple of smooches. It's a sort of cinema version of having it off with Ashley. Oh, he's fit though. Who's in love with her, but now married to her cousin. She also breaks the hearts of some other guy who ends up doing well after the Civil War, who she marries. And Rhett Butler, played by Clark Gable, who is fit. He is a sort. He had wooden teeth. But it remains somewhat inexplicable why all these men should be drawn to the childish, headstrong, selfish Scarlett. She's not without redemption. She saved Melanie, Ashley's wife, and her cousin from the invading Yankee horde. Incidentally, Melanie was played by Olivia de Havilland, who is still going strong at 103. Way to go. But really, Scarlett is impetuous. At one point, beating a black woman. To be fair, she doesn't discriminate. She beats white women too. Maybe that's why we love her. Oh, Killing Eve. It's fine to beat up a woman if it's a woman doing it. The first act ends with Scarlett having returned to a burnt-out Tara, vowing to rebuild it. She says, "I'll never be hungry again, as God is my witness." And neither will we, kids. It's intermission time, and drinks and snacks are available in the foyer. The first half is exciting enough, and that's where the budget got blown, with the burning of Atlanta and the post-battle scenes being properly epic, not to mention the service in the church with a vicar who shouts at people a lot. It's all a bit Jeremy Kyle, to be honest with you. Scarlett marries the wealthy store owner, who dies, and then Rhett marries Scarlett, declaring them both to be as bad as each other. And he may have a point, laughing merrily at black-on-black violence, segregation, and death in childbirth. Speaking of childbirth, they have a daughter, Bonnie, over whom they fight when their marriage goes south. And she miscarries a second daughter when they fight and she falls down the stairs. Like I said, Jeremy Kyle, or if you're listening to this in the States, Jerry Springer, ask your dad. The last hour of the film is quite compelling as you wait to see how it will all play out, and really, to find out finally what Scarlett's setup line is for Rhett's infamous exit line, "Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn." If you want to know what it is, I'll tell you, it's one of these three. "Your flies are undone." "Where shall I go? What shall I do?" Or, "Your blow-off smells like a camembert madras." The film premiered in Atlanta, but the black actors were not allowed to attend. Some black-on-white and white-on-black violence followed screenings around the country, but the film did at least, for the first time, win one black actor an Oscar. Which, imagine, only one black person winning an Oscar. Amazingly, Martin Luther King was at the premiere, singing in what was then called a Negro Boys Choir. How's everyone's bowel? The film was, at the time, probably considered a kind of cultural necessity for America. They needed a big story about themselves, a story about forging a new world and a new life after much violence and bloodshed, and Gone with the Wind kind of did that, but in all honesty, it's a lot of distasteful, self-glorifying, racist honk. Well, I think I've done enough public service narrowcasting for today. I will be back tomorrow. We'll have some fun. Let's have some fun. We'll do that, shall we, tomorrow? As ever, you can get in touch with all your stuff. It's nottoday@swanburst.com, or it's at nottodaypod on Twitter, or it's facebook.com/nottodaypod. Tomorrow night, the Patreons and me, well, we're going to have a little watch-along together. It's going to be a lot of fun. Some of the worst TV I've ever seen. It's kind of so good, it's bad. Wait, what? It's time for bed. Night, night. Bye.
This has been a Swanburst Media production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.